Soon, perhaps, the valleys will also be alive with the theory of music. This tape lets you hear the results of some new music theory. Standard music theory is based on the piano keyboard, and before that, the organ keyboard, which have had the same tuning and the same key pattern since about 1350 AD. After 650 years of the same old music theory, perhaps it is time to change. Simple math can produce new tuning systems and new types of harmony. Notes that have simple frequency ratios sound good when they are played together. The simplest ratio is 2:1, where one note has a frequency of twice the other. These notes are called octaves in standard theory, but the word doubled is probably a better word. If you start with a low note, the frequency can be doubled several times. You can play, if you play octave notes together or a note and it's double, they sound good when played together. Or you can do that also with three notes or notes with a ratio of 1:2:4. And of course you can continue that with notes 1:2:4:8. If you continue that even further, you can get as many notes as your fingers can reach, but of course your fingers cannot reach all these octave notes. It's easier to play them on a guitar. If you play octave notes together on a guitar, it sounds like this. Where the new music theory differs from standard music theory is in how to choose the notes in between the octaves. For example, if we start again with the two notes that have a ratio of 1:2, then the easiest choice of a note in between those is to use the note with a ratio of 1.5. In other words, if this is a C, and the next C above it, the note with a ratio of 1.5 is the G in between. And that would give you a simple two notes per octave, only using the C and the G. Another choice would be to use three notes per octave, where you have a frequency ratio of 1:1.33, 1:1.67, 2. That sounds like this. And those notes are the C, F, A, and C with three notes per octave. A good choice of four notes per octave . Those notes have a ratio of 1:1.25, 1:1.5, 1:1.75, 2. And you can continue with this basic concept on how many notes to choose per octave. And the piano has its choice is 12 notes per octave, 7 white keys and 5 black keys, and they sound like this. Those are the standard 12 notes that you're given. This choice has stayed the same over hundreds of years because the keyboard is physically set up to have exactly that number of notes per octave, and it's very hard to change it because of the uneven pattern of the black keys on the keyboard. But we can still think about the choices that would be available if we had if we were not using the standard piano keyboard, but just using a generic keyboard. A generic keyboard would let you choose different types of tuning systems, or even to rearrange the notes so that the notes that you want to play together would be located right beside each other on the keyboard. When choosing how many notes you should have per octave, two factors are important. One is that when you play a scale, it would be nice if the scale was in step with the music. Most music has a repetitive pattern of 4 beats, or sometimes 3 beats, or 6 beats, or 8 beats, 4-4 time, 3-4 time, that kind of stuff, where there's the measures have a certain repeating pattern, and the emphasis is usually on the first beat of the new measure. And with the number of notes per octave, it would be nice if the number of notes per octave matched the music beat that you were playing, so that as you played scales, the beginning and ending notes would fall on the same beat of the measure, and it would sound real nice. The other factor to consider is that with more notes per octave, there is more of a chance of hitting two notes that don't sound good together, because the ratios are not simple ratios. With fewer notes per octave, that would allow even very small children to play very nice chords, because there essentially would be no wrong notes. There would only be right notes on the keyboard. And also, when they would play scales, they would sound better than the current version, which uses 7 notes per octave. So to demonstrate those principles, we can play a few scales. Notes per octave, the last two being 6 notes per octave and 8 notes per octave, that if you play all those notes together, the sound is really not good. There's too little distance between the notes for your ear to really be able to pick out the differences in frequency. So especially for small children who are just trying to learn, with fewer notes per octave, no matter which notes they would hit, it would make a nice chord. Of course, you can play the scales starting from high to low instead of low to high, and that sounds like this. Then, of course, playing one scale going up while at the same time playing a scale going down, you would hope that those notes would sound good together. And in fact, they do. Playing the scales together sounds like this. Different mathematical functions can be used in deciding where to place the notes in between the octaves. The previous scales used the tuning that I call linear tuning, where the notes are, say, 1, 1.25, 1.5, 1.75, and 2, all on a straight line in between the octave notes. But other mathematical functions work as well or differently. They provide different sounds. For example, you could choose the notes to be evenly spaced on the log scale, log base 2 scale, instead of on the frequency scale. And with evenly spaced notes on log 2 scale, then instead of having 1, 1.5, and 2, the note that you choose in the middle would be the square root of 2, or 1.414 instead of 1.5. And using the same mathematical function to set the other notes, results in the same types of scales, and those scales, when played with one note, starting with one, just one note per octave, then two notes per octave, three notes per octave, four notes per octave, six notes per octave, eight notes per octave, 12 notes per octave, and 16 and 24 notes per octave, gives you the following scale. Scales that were played were going up the octave and down the octave, played simultaneously. Most music until now has used the 12 standard piano notes, but not all music, because the musicians can tune their instruments differently, and some of the instruments that are easiest to tune are stringed instruments where there are no frets. So that the finger can choose basically any note along in between the two extremes for the instrument. And one particular song that I noticed uses a non-standard tuning is the song "The Devil Went Down to Georgia" by the Charlie Daniels Band. That's played on a fiddle, where the fingers with no frets, so the fingers can choose particular notes. And the notes that are used in the Devil's solo seem to be 8 even notes per octave instead of 7, and they are evenly spaced on the log bass 2 scale, and that sounds like this. With evenly spaced notes on the log scale, any two adjacent notes have exactly the same frequency ratio as any other two adjacent notes, and that makes it very easy to move the music pattern up or down very easily without affecting the ratios of the notes involved. In other words, you can change the scale up a few notes or down a few notes, and the music itself will have exactly the same frequency ratios as the original version. With 8 evenly spaced notes per octave, then musical scales are in step with musical measures, and so another song I use to demonstrate the use of 8 evenly spaced notes on the log scale is the song "Riders on the Storm" by the Doors, where the opening piano solo, I've retuned my piano to 8 evenly spaced notes per octave on the log scale, and then I play that with vibraphone, and that sounds like this. With log tuning, any two adjacent notes have the same frequency ratio, but with linear tuning, any two adjacent notes have the same actual increase in frequency. For example, 1, 1.5, and 2 each have an increase of 1/2 from the frequency of the one note to the next note to the next note. And so if you continue this pattern across octaves, you can get a completely straight line, and if you tune the piano that way, then the number of notes that it takes to reach each next octave is twice the number of notes it took in the octave before, that gives you a little bit different kind of a pattern, where instead of going from 1 to 2 to 4 to 8 across the piano keyboard, you would go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, and there would be more notes on the upper end of the range and fewer notes on the lower end of the range. And so a scale played on with a completely straight line for tuning sounds like this. Play that same scale, but instead of first going up the scale and then coming back down, you play the up and the down together, a simultaneous up and down scale together. That sounds like this. With linear tuning, you can get different types of harmony than what are taught with standard music theory. And two of the types of linear harmony are parallel harmony, or parallel straight lines, and intersecting straight lines. And to demonstrate the parallel harmony, here's what it sounds like when you play five parallel straight lines up the scale and then back down the scale. Intersecting harmony is probably more pleasing to the ear and more interesting than parallel harmony. And here's what it sounds like if you play five intersecting straight lines going up the scale and then coming back down. Scales are really not music, but only sort of the beginning of music. And so real music, the songs that we know, were composed mainly on the standard 12 notes available on the piano. And if you retune the piano linearly, then if you try to play the same song with new tuning, it may sound better or it may sound worse. And I took the only real song that I know, the first song I was taught in piano as a piano student when I was about 9 or 10 years old, is Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. And with linear tuning, I played the same notes that I remember in the same keys, but with new tuning, you get a new sound, and it sounds something like this. With linear tuning, some of the notes that were not formally within reach of the fingers become within reach. And so as you change the tuning of the piano, new patterns, new chords become available that weren't available before. And in fact, with a generic keyboard, even new patterns would be possible, because you could place the notes beside each other that you really need to play together. Guitars have always had this advantage over pianos, that the guitar player can tune the strings in basically any way that the musician prefers, and they tune the notes so that when you strum them all together, the notes the notes that are played all sound good together. And that similar concept has not been available on the piano because of the physical structure of the piano, which forces you to put the notes in the same uneven pattern that has existed for the last 650 years. The uneven pattern of black keys on the standard piano keyboard does help you to locate the notes that you want to play, but a new keyboard with evenly spaced notes would allow you to put evenly spaced math more easily onto the keyboard, and also to vary the number of notes per octave, because with the three black keys and then a space and then two black keys and another space, anytime you try to vary the number of notes per octave with the standard keyboard, you run into a different pattern. The pattern of keys would not match the width of the octaves, and so you would have a different pattern of keys across any particular octave. On a keyboard with evenly spaced notes, color coding could be used instead of the uneven pattern of black keys to help the user to locate the note that they wanted to play. So far I've discussed two basic methods for tuning the piano. Those are linear tuning and log tuning. With linear tuning, you would get an increase in frequency from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 across the range of keys, whereas with log tuning, you get a constant multiple of increase across the keyboard, and that leads to ratios of 1 to 2 to 4 to 8 to 16. A third basic type of tuning that is also useful is what I call a reciprocal tuning. And this gives the same note ratios that linear does, but instead of increasing the numerator by one each time, you increase the denominator by one each time, and that's why I call it reciprocal. It's really the reciprocal of the linear tuning system. And so, in this case, instead of starting from the low end and working to the high end, we start with the a note with high frequency would have a frequency ratio assigned of 1, and then the next note lower would be a half. The next note below that would have a frequency of 1/3 of the original one, and 1/4, 1/5, etc. And this has the opposite effect of with linear tuning. You get twice as many notes in each octave that you go up, so you have more notes in the high range and fewer notes in the low range. With reciprocal tuning, the pattern is exactly the opposite, that you have twice as many notes in each octave as you go down to lower frequencies, and you have fewer notes on the upper range of the scale. And so the sound is different than the previous two methods. And so to get an example of what reciprocal tuning sounds like, here are a whole bunch of scales similar to the scales that were played earlier for linear tuning and for log tuning. Some of the scales just played included a clicking sound, And the reason for that is because reciprocal tuning and linear tuning both include the concept of a null note, or a note with a frequency of zero. And so if you play, say, a descending scale 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, it's not clear whether a note with a frequency of zero should make no sound, or possibly it could make a click, because frequency measures the length of time between repeated sound waves, and with only one sound wave, or just a click, that could be interpreted as a frequency of either zero or perhaps infinity. With standard log tuning, you never reach the note of zero with zero frequency, because you keep cutting the frequency in half, and then in half again, and half again, and you never run out of range that the ear can hear, and you never actually hit the zero note. With linear tuning, you do. And so if you start with that same idea of playing a scale of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, on the other side of that are notes with negative frequency, and that, I think, is the same as anti-sound, which means if you played the note with a frequency of negative 4 at the same time that you play the note with a frequency of positive 4, if you play them at exactly the same time, they would cancel and you would hear nothing. The note frequency of 0 is useful, and 0 is also useful when counting out musical measures. For example, a song with 3 beats per measure, such as a waltz, instead of counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, those numbers that get the strong beat 1, 4, and 7 are not really the most useful. It's better to start with 0, and then the emphasis will be on the multiples of 3, which are actually the foundation of the music. In other words, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 makes a lot more sense. Similarly, if you have a song with 4 beats per measure, and if you start your counting with 0 instead of 1, it makes more sense there too. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 makes more sense than counting with 1 and then having the emphasis on 5, 9, and 13. And now I'll play a few short musical segments to demonstrate the concept of music with one note per octave, or one note per double, music with 2 notes per octave, 3 notes per octave, 4 notes per octave, etc., starting off with some short musical segments from my favorite song, Jukebox Hero by Foreigner. Next, with one note per octave, is the more familiar theme from Love Story. Actually, some of the notes in there were the 1.5, 1.33, and 1.67 notes, but the feature was the opening. Which was all played on the double notes with frequency 1 and 2. Another little song which features 2 notes per octave is Mama's Little Baby Loves Shortening Bread. The last 3 notes there were not in the 2 notes per octave. They actually were the 1.125 and 1.25 notes, but the opening sequence was all using two notes per octave. A few songs also use three notes per octave, and those notes being 1, 1.33, 1.67, and 2, and those songs tend to be bugle songs, which can only play three notes per octave, compared to a standard trumpet with the valves that allow the user to play the standard notes. So one of the songs is very familiar, which most people know, is a song called Taps. Some other familiar songs that use three notes per octave are the little song that they use to bring the horses to the gate at the racetrack. And the song Charge. And Revelry. Now for some songs that use four notes per octave, those being 1, 1.25, 1.5, 1.75, and 2. And the song I'll start out with is a song called Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones that was in several polls voted the most popular song of all rock and roll songs of all time as of the year 2000. And actually the instrumental parts use more than the four notes per octave. It's just the Mick Jagger vocal parts that use the four notes per octave. The instrumentals go more like this. And then the vocal parts using four notes per octave sound like this. Another famous song that uses just four notes per octave is Blue Collar Man by Styx. Another pretty song that uses only four notes per octave is Midnight at the Oasis. The previous songs use four notes per octave that are evenly spaced on the linear scale or on the frequency scale. But it's also possible for songs to use four notes per octave that are equally spaced on the log scale. Thank you. standard piano keyboard has 12 notes per octave that are evenly spaced on the log 2 scale. And so to get 4 notes per octave evenly spaced on log 2 scale, you just play every third note, disregarding whether the notes are black or white. Just every third note. And one popular song that used this 4 notes per octave on the log 2 scale was the song, or is the song, Crazy on You by the group Heart. And here is the 4 notes per octave portion of the song. Crazy on You is very useful for educational purposes because it teaches the 4 notes per octave, but then it also teaches a 6 note per octave scale. To get 6 evenly spaced notes on the log 2 scale, you just play basically every other note on the piano keyboard. So of the 12 keys, you play every other note, disregarding whether they're black or white. And that sounds like this. And the portion of Crazy on You that uses the 6 notes per octave is played like this. The number of notes per octave can be set to other numbers besides 4 or 6, such as 8, which was already demonstrated in the Devil Went Down to Georgia song, and the scale with 8 notes per octave on the log scale sounds like this. Whereas 8 notes per octave on the linear scale sounds like this. The standard C scale is much more complicated than just 8 evenly spaced notes because of the uneven pattern of keys across the keyboard. The 7 white notes, 5 of them are called full steps because they're separated by a black note, and 2 of them are considered to be half steps because there's no black note in between. But the actual frequencies that are assigned to those keys are not exactly, so there's a total of 12 keys, and the tuning is not exactly on the standard log tuning, scale with 12 evenly spaced notes, and it's also not linear across the 12 keys. Instead, the octave is divided into two halves, and the tuning is linear across the two halves of the octave. And instead of using 12 even steps of 1/12 up the octave, 6 steps of 1/15 are used, and then followed by 6 steps of 1/10. So the first half of the octave is small steps, and the second half of the octave is larger steps, and the join points are at B flat and at E, and then at the next B flat and then at E. If you use your calculator and the math that I just described, and try to work out what the notes really are of the standard C scale, then accounting for the full steps and the half steps and the increases of 1/15th through the first half of the octave and the increases of 1/10th later on, and accounting for the fact that the join points are not at the begin point. In other words, the join points, B flat and E, are not where you start, which is at C, which, by the way, you start at C, you might think you would start at A, but that's not the place where you start. You start at C, which if you assign C a relative frequency of 1 and play that, then the next note has a relative frequency of 1.125, that's called D, and then E is 1.25. The next note, F, is 1.33, and then G is 1.5. The A above that is 1.67. The B is 1.875, and then finally you get to the next C at 2, which is kind of a complicated structure, but it allows you to mix, this uneven pattern allows you to mix notes that have, with different ratios, some with ratios involving 2 and others with ratios involving 3. And it is a nice mix, and it has served well for 650 years. Organs that were manufactured before 1350 had just one row of keys and 7 notes per octave. And so when the additional keys were added so that the organist would have more notes available and could play more complicated or more pleasing songs, then the notes were added, the extra notes were added in a way to preserve the original 7 keys so that the organist could continue to play the music that they already knew. And that is basically the reason why the pattern has survived to today, is because everyone who's been trained on the keyboard wishes to continue to be able to play the songs as they've been trained to play them, and there's really no incentive to come out with a new keyboard, because all the trained pianists would have to relearn starting with a different instrument that would happen to be tremendously simpler, and any child could play it, and that's why we must continue with the tradition of the standard piano keyboard. The connection between music and math is very strong, but the current keyboard hides that connection. It does not really help students or anyone to understand math. It really hides the principles instead of showing them. And with a new keyboard, just a generic keyboard, you could apply math and demonstrate the principles of math musically, or music, it shows it how music works mathematically. These musical theories were derived by me, Paul Van Raden, and I intend to copyright them in the future, but during this year, 2001, feel free to copy the tape and share it with others to try to get this idea started. Hopefully someday children will be educated with new music the way they have new math. But for now, they continue to be taught the old do-re-mi school of music.